break it down, down like this.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Tempo Fit Workout of the Week. This is episode number 032, and this week we have another guest, another top New Zealand distance running athlete. Her name is Lydia O'Donnell. She is now based out of Victoria in Australia. So I think she usually lives in Melbourne, but as you'll hear in the podcast, she's been staying up at altitude during lockdown, getting in some cold, hilly, high altitude running. But it is great to have her on the show. She's a six-time New Zealand national champion over distances from the 5,000 metres up to the half marathon. She was to be a New Zealand representative at the World Half Marathon Champs in March, but obviously that was cancelled due to COVID-19. But this workout is a goodie. It is a classic 1K reps workout, but a little bit slower than maybe you're used to, and maybe a few more reps than you're used to. So this is a nice one, and I really encourage you to listen to Lydia's advice around keeping the pace a bit more controlled and making sure you're fully recovered between each rep, because this is a little bit different from the one that we did back in December. Okay, handing over to Lydia. So we are stoked to have on the phone from a snowy Australia, which it took me a while to work out, but it is snowing where she is in Australia. So welcome to the show, Lydia O'Donnell.
Thanks for having me, Hayden. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, stoked to have you. Now, we do need to explain this. Why are you in snow in Australia in early May?
So I'm actually up at a place. I'm up at a place called Mount Holotham, which is about 1,800 meters above sea level, and it has just started bucketing with snow. So, no running happening at the moment. It's pretty cold out there, and I think it's about like 30 to 40 centimeters deep in snow. So, it's beautiful, but yeah, it's not perfect running conditions.
That's awesome. And like, it seems so weird because we're in New Zealand and most of us at the moment are like still t-shirt weather going to the beach, and there you are in Australia at altitude in the snow. So you've been there for your whole lockdown. Has the training been good apart from navigating snowy days?
Yeah, it has. It's really been the first time I've done decent altitude training, and for the first three or four weeks I felt pretty terrible. And to be honest, Everywhere around here is hilly. There's no flat ground, so it's either, you know, you're dying from low oxygen or you're dying from running up a hill. But it's been really good. Like over the last couple of weeks, I felt a lot stronger, and we've gone down to Bright, which is about a 45-minute drive from here down the mountain, and done a few speed sessions. And that's been fun to just kind of test out the fitness and see how their altitude training is working. And it's been going good. So I've been enjoying it.
Oh, do you do a bit of that regularly, or is this kind of a COVID-19 lockdown?
Look, it came on because of COVID-19. It wasn't really planned to come out and do an altitude training camp, but it kind of worked out for me, to be honest. We just wanted to escape the city.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the workout that we're going to do this week, we've got some 1K repeats on the menu. So do you want to talk us through what we're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think 1K repeats is probably my favourite session. And what I love about it is it's the perfect balance of quantity and quality. So we still get to run fast, but we still get to log a few Ks as well, which is good. It's a session that I've done, you know, my entire running career, no matter what I'm training for. So that's another great thing about it. If you're training for a 5K, a 10K, a half or a full marathon, it's still a great session to be able to get the legs turning over a little bit quicker. So today we're going to talk through 8x1K, which is a pretty big session. Depending on where you're at in kind of your running career, you might want to play around with how many repeats you want to do, but let's go for 8. And we're trying to work them at about 10K race pace. So for those runners who have maybe done a few K repeat workouts before, I would aim for your 10K race pace, and you want to aim for your current race pace. You don't want to really run those at your goal race pace, because we all have these big goals. And, you know, you might be in a 38-minute 10K runner at the moment, but you're aiming for 35 minutes. Don't go out and smash them out at 3:30. Try and run them at the current 10K race pace you're at the moment. And yeah, we're going to have a decent recovery in between those. So, I mean, if we were closer to a race, we'd try and make those recoveries a little bit shorter. But the idea of those recoveries are just trying to get your heart rate down as much as you can between each repeat so you can make the most out of those Ks. So we're going for a 90 seconds recovery. You can pick if you want to take that as a standing recovery or a slow jog. If you haven't done Ks and you want to try and bang out maybe a few more, I would bring that recovery up to 2 minutes. But let's stick at that 90 seconds and try and get that heart rate down as much as you can in the 90 seconds. So really just, you know, deep breathing. If you need to stand and rest between each repeat, that's absolutely fine. But yeah, we're trying to keep them nice and consistent. So we don't want to go out and smash the first few and then get slower and slower over the eight. The idea is either to start out maybe a little slower than your 10K race pace and then try and hit the last two or three at race pace, or keep them nice and consistent throughout the whole session.
What I really love about this workout is that like progression of pace, which I think is really good. Like, especially now that we're in lockdown, there's no races coming up for anyone. So there's no pressure to get out there and really sharpen up. So it means you can warm into it. But also, often when people do 1K repeats, they just do them really fast. And it's like, how fast can I run a K? And then how can I run another K? But this is quite a controlled 1K. How are you sort of feeling as you're going through it? Like that first 1K probably feels pretty comfy.
Totally. You should feel like the first two, three, maybe even four should feel quite comfortable. I mean, we're working our aerobic systems, but we're not trying to build too much lactic acid in our muscles. So they should feel really comfortable. The last two or three might feel like a little bit of a struggle, but that's where we want to maybe push the pace a little bit harder. But just the thing is, you don't want to get too excited too soon. So if you feel great in the first one or two, don't try and drop from a 3:30 to a 3:20. So get that 3:30 until the last couple, and then maybe try and push the pace for the last few.
Cool. And for those who remember, we did a workout of the week with Hayden Wild back in December, I think it was. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was December last year. And his was more around 5K pace and just 60 seconds rest. And so that's a really good workout, like if you've got a 5K race coming up just around the corner, and really sharpen that sort of VO2 max end of the energy spectrum. Yeah. Whereas this is, like you say, it's an aerobic workout. You should still be able to breathe.
I think that's why I enjoy it so much, because it is hard, but it's not like you're absolutely smashing yourself. So you should feel, at the end of the workout, you should feel like, you know, you've pushed it and you've emptied the tank, but you're not completely smashed, because most likely you've got to get up the next day and do a long run. So the idea of it is you can continue to train hard throughout the following week, but you just want to still get quality out of that session.
Cool. Now, I was looking through your profile on the ANZ rankings page, and it came up with the list of like New Zealand medals, and I was like, that's a really long list. Right? So I counted six national champs titles in the senior ranks from the 5K to the half marathon. So that shows you've got a really good engine, great aerobic engine. Like, what does your weekly training kind of look like? Are you a sort of high mileage person, or do you kind of mix it up with some other cross training?
Yeah, well, that's funny. I had no idea. I don't even know how many medals I've won, to be honest. So that's nice enough. I just kind of don't really keep count. I just run because I love running.
But yeah,
my weekly training, to be honest, I mean, pros and cons to this, but I'm probably more of a high mileage runner. No matter if I'm training for a 5K or a marathon, I still need to run decent mileage to be fit and to be strong. I don't run well off short, fast stuff, so you'll never really see me running too many repeats less than the K. The K is probably for the fastest repeats that I would run, other than stride outs and that sort of thing. But most of my work is kind of that longer aerobic work where I do a lot of tempo work. So when I'm running marathons, I'm getting my tempos up to an hour. But a lot of my repeat work on the track is more around that K repeats or mile repeats. Which is fun. I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy logging big miles. So the biggest week I've had, I think, is maybe 170 Ks. But in the marathon build-up, it's usually consistently around 100 miles, so 160 K weeks. So that's probably across about 10 or 11 runs throughout the week.
That's meaty. That's awesome. And as far as where this workout might fit into your week, you said before, like, you'd most likely do a long run the next day. Like, so when we're kind of approaching this workout, would you really have that in the back of your mind that this is just another piece of the puzzle? This isn't that big epic workout that kills you for the next week. This is just another sort of brick in the wall that you're building.
Be
nice for the next run.
Yeah, totally. Like, I'll usually do my speed work on a Tuesday and I'll do an interval session in the morning, easy jog at night, and then I usually go out for a steady, longish, maybe 90-minute run on a Wednesday morning. So you don't want to feel like, you know, you don't want to be terrible on the Wednesday morning. So, yeah, and like I said, the idea of the workout isn't to go out and smash yourself. I think the only time you want to go and smash yourself is probably in a race, to be honest, when you're maybe a longer distance runner. You want to still feel like you can continue on your training plan and not have to take 3 or 4 days off to recover from your K repeats. So, yeah, it's usually an interval session on the Tuesday morning and then a steady longish run on a Wednesday. And then I might do stride out for hills on a Thursday. So, yeah, the thing with the longer stuff is, well, you know, like, it's all about consistency. So there's no time where you want to completely smash the legs where you can't continue training, so you've got to be able to get up the next day and keep logging those miles.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say, like, you only kind of go to the well on those race days, I think that's a big one with the runners that I've coached. There's two types of runner. There's the runner that never wants to go to the well, and then there's the type of runner that wants to go to the well every time they put on their shoes. But I think there is something, what you're saying there, maintaining that mental strength, like just tapping the intensity when in the workouts, but then saving yourself for those really big ones where you can go all out for the race.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because I've had athletes in the past where I'm like planning them workouts and then I'm getting them to work into a race and they are saying that, oh, but I haven't even run that pace in training. And I'm like, I never run my race pace in training, you know, for that long. You're not going to race 10K in training. So it just comes down, you're saving yourself for those big moments, and that's kind of the whole purpose of it. So there's no point in smashing yourself in the training. But yeah, I agree. I see it all the time, especially with people who just purely love running and they just want to feel that pain, you know, every time they put on their shoes. But it's taking a step back and looking at the entire scope of what you're doing. And I think that's the difference between training and exercising. You know, when you're training, you have a purpose and there's goals towards what you're training towards, and there's a purpose behind every single run you do, versus just getting up and exercising and smashing yourself every day.
So you are a coach, you're a running coach. Do you want to tell us about what you're doing with running coaching and also how people can connect with you as well?
Yes, I've been coaching online athletes for probably about 3 or 4 years now. It was something that I found myself doing just naturally. I think people came to me for advice and I just started helping them, and it's kind of progressed into a business, which is awesome for me. And it's funny, since lockdown, everyone started working from home and in isolation, and to me it's kind of something that, and I've been working online for the last few years, so it's not too different. But I enjoy it. I get to virtually meet people all around the world, and the variety of runners I work with is awesome too. I work with people who've never run before to, you know, people who are trying to run some sub-3 marathons and even faster, which is awesome. So the variety in my job is great, and I just love working with that variety of athletes because it inspires me too. You know, even as an elite athlete, I get to work with people who are so committed and dedicated to their own training. Plus, they have a whole another life of work and family and everything else going on, whereas I kind of just get to focus on my running and my training, which is awesome. So I program my coaching is very much just personalized programming online. So generally people will come to me with a goal, whether that is a race goal or just, you know, they want to get up and be able to run 10K goal. And then I write a personalized plan built very specifically around their life. So it's not just their current running ability and how much they want to run it throughout the week. It's like, what other things are going on in your life? What job do you have? How many hours are you working there? What other stresses are, you know, on you as a person, not just as an athlete? So I really make sure that their training is very specific to that, just because, you know, I've been there, I've worked a full-time job and also tried to train as an elite athlete, and it's, we all know like how hard that can be. So it's kind of taking all those stresses into account. But yeah, so I work, my business is Lydia O'Donnell Coaching, very unique. So lydiaodonnell.com is my website and you can go there for all the information.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, and it's such a big one, and it's something that I say to people, like, you could get a plan, just Google 10K running plan or find an app to do it,
totally.
But it doesn't count those nuances of like, ah, I've got three kids, or I've been dealing with this chronic illness, or
exactly,
I've got exams coming up. You know, there's so many different variables that each person needs to account for. And yeah, a running coach is the person that can work around those variables.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I think it's really important that people understand and they need some education behind their specific programs. It's not just something you can download off the internet. So I enjoy it and I love working with those people and learning from them as well.
Cool. Oh, awesome. Now, you're also really passionate about mental health as well, particularly about using running to improve your mental health. Do you want to dig into that for a little?
Yeah, I think it's something I've always been passionate about. Growing up, I was a runner and I left, stepped away from running, I would say, for probably about 18 months when I was about 17 or 18 years old. And I personally just went through a struggle myself with my mental health. And I thought, you know, the one thing that brought me back onto the right path was running, because I knew how good it made me feel and how much purpose it gave to my life. And I think going through that myself really taught me about the benefits of running for everybody's mental health. So I'm really passionate about kind of showing people that running isn't all about, you know, smashing PBs or winning medals or being on podiums. There is other parts of running that can actually complement your entire life. And I think that's a really important message that we all need to share, whether we're elite or not. So yeah, I like educating people around, you know, you don't have to go and run as fast as you can every day. You can just go out and run miles for your mental health and make sure that that is in the right place. Because once your head is in the right place, I think everything else kind of like falls into place for you.
Totally. And it's interesting, actually, when you look at like the Mental Health Foundation's recommendations of like, you know, how to maintain good mental health, it's like exercise regularly, be out in nature, stay social.
Yeah.
So like go out running with your friends or, and have some goals. And like running is such a good mechanism to force yourself to do that. And especially if you've got, you know, a training plan that gets you out the door and keep those regularities in life. Yeah.
Totally. I think a training plan for, you know, even running just for mental health is important, because I think what people do is they think, they realise how good exercise can be for your mental health, but they get sucked into this messaging of going as fast as you can every single day, whether that is running or high intensity training in the gym. You kind of, there's like an addiction that you can get towards high intensity training because of the adrenaline that it pumps through your system. And people get really carried away with that. And then I've seen it time and time again where people just end up smashing themselves through high intensity sessions every day because it makes them feel good and they think they're doing the best thing for their mental health, but they're actually overloading their body with cortisol, which ends up just creating fatigue in their body and actually is worse for their mental health than they started off with. So having a program from a coach where you can run easy some days, run hard some days, make the most of your long runs, you know, you do the right things on the right days, not only is it going to make you better as an athlete and physically fitter, it's actually going to be better for your mind as well.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I think that balance is so important. Like it's so cool having the high intensity training movement. I think it's brought a cool dynamic rather than just like aerobics or you know, the traditional.
There's something cool about it.
But yeah, it's got to have that balance, and like there's something to be said for like, I've got an Achilles injury at the moment, and some of my workouts in the week are literally just going for a walk, and it's actually really nice and relaxing and you feel great after it. Shows my age.
Well, I've actually jumped into yoga since this lockdown has happened. Wow. And I've been doing yoga every day, and honestly, like, just being able to meditate on the mat versus being outside can also be so beneficial for your mind. So I think, you know, there's all different forms of movement, but running is definitely one for me that has created a very healthy mental health and mindset.
Awesome. Oh, great stuff, Lydia. So it's been really cool having you on the line. Thank you for taking a break from watching the snow fall outside.
Yeah, no worries. There's no running happening, so I'm more than happy to chat.
Yeah, and now if people want to follow what you're up to and all the beautiful scenic shots of snowy run, Instagram, is that the best place? And what's your handle?
Yeah, Lydia Odo is my Instagram handle. Sorry to say, I'm not really on the TikTok kind of craze at the moment, but we might get there.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks again, Lydia, and stay safe, stay healthy in your lockdown, and enjoy walking those hilly, high altitude miles.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's the workout, 8x1K at around about your 10K pace, starting almost at half marathon pace and then just getting a little bit quicker. Good 90-second jog recoveries between each of the 1Ks is a lot of mileage in this workout. You should feel pretty good. It's not an empty the tank workout, and definitely for the first half of the workout, it should feel pretty comfy. But get out there, crush it, enjoy it. Thanks so much, Lydia, for joining. Be sure to follow her on social media. We will see you next week, everyone. Ciao. Now, before you head off on your merry way, we would love to connect with you online. So be sure to sign up to the weekly newsletter at tempofit.org and also hashtag TempoFitWow to join the conversation on Instagram and Facebook. And feel free to tag us into your workouts at RunTempoFit. We would love to hear from you. Finally, if you've enjoyed this podcast, if you've got value out of it, would you mind sharing it with a friend and giving us a little 5-star review? That helps us tremendously. Happy running, everyone.